two horrific cases of alleged domestic violence in two states this week have again spurred debate about how best to stop violent partners from attacking women and children. In Queensland, a man is facing murder and breach of bail charges after he allegedly assaulted and burned to death his former partner, Kelly Wilkinson, in her backyard. Police have charged him with breaching a domestic violence order. While in South Australia, a man jumped to his death with his nine-month-old daughter in his arms. Police say there was a history of domestic violence. Angela Lynch is CEO of the Women's Legal Service in Queensland and joins us. Angela, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Oh, hi, Sally.
Angela, we spoke to you just a few weeks ago when you were calling for a national summit to address violence against women. Did you expect to be back so soon to talk about more incidents of horrific violence?
These are absolutely shocking cases. Obviously, we are appalled and shocked, but we shouldn't be shocked. Because what we know in the statistics is one woman a week is obviously killed. We've heard those statistics for years now. When are things going to change? What we know in Australia is that systems prioritise the rights of perpetrators over victim and child safety, and that is the bottom line.
What are you seeing in Queensland with those kinds of issues?
Well, this is the second case this year where there are serious questions in relation to police responses to domestic violence, and it is simply not good enough. The other case was the murder-suicide of Doreen Langham only in February this year, where she died also in a house fire, and it's alleged that that was her perpetrator. She was burnt to death as well. The police have advised... they only came out yesterday in relation to Kelly Wilkinson's case and said that there were serious failings. They've set up an internal review. Well, that is not good enough. We need an independent review into the Queensland Police Service and their responses to domestic violence in Queensland. We are not going to accept another internal review. This is the second death this year with serious questions about the Queensland Police Service's response. This is not a resourcing issue. This is an attitudinal issue where they have failed, it would seem, in relation to keeping women and children safe.
Why do you think that's happening?
It is an attitudinal issue. I think it is misogyny in action. What the family has said is that Kelly was pleading with the police in the weeks before this tragic incident, going to them, requesting their assistance, and those requests were ignored. And the other thing that we need is a review of bail laws, because what the police have confirmed yesterday is that despite the fact that he was up on, and the family has said he was up on serious assault charges, they allowed him to go back into the community on police or watch house bail. We need a review of the bail laws in Queensland in relation to that. How can that happen? How can the police have a discretion to allow a perpetrator back into the community? And it would seem whilst he was on bail, this incident has occurred.
Angela, what about some of the practical issues like monitoring devices like ankle bracelets and things like that? Are they helping?
I mean, that's right. There was a review by the South Australian Correction Services only a few weeks ago. The results of that were released that showed that that ankle bracelets, when people were on parole, were with domestic violence offenders, were having a real impact in relation to recidivism. So obviously, these are all the things that we want to have looked. Act. We need a much more nuanced and better response to levels of dangerousness to making assessments. Not all domestic violence perpetrators, and you know, obviously not all of their crimes end up in lethal violence. So we have to have a much more nuanced response in relation to those highly dangerous perpetrators, and the system has to be able to accommodate that.
That they are some of the things that need to happen very urgently to keep women and children safe. But as we go back unpicking this web of factors, how do we end up that perpetrators, particularly men, end up in this position that they see these options as the options that they want to take?
Well, it's because they feel that they're entitled to do it and the system doesn't hold them accountable. That's the reality. So when a system does not hold perpetrators accountable and they can continue on in their way, it basically gives them a green light to continue. The issue in South Australia, we're obviously waiting for further details. Absolutely appalling, absolutely tragic for that mother. It looks like he had legal access. The questions then have to be asked, why did he have legal access when there was a history of domestic violence, a history of threats, including threats against the child? These are the questions that that need to be asked, that continue to be asked. We have advocated for years in relation to making the family law system safer. They have fallen on deaf ears. Again, the government has not responded, I don't think, appropriately to issues of safety. They have responded to the Australian Law Reform Commission's report into the family law system. It's not good enough. The parliamentary inquiry into family law, again, they do not take a really kind of coherent and cogent approach to the issues of safety in family law. This needs to be the priority. Up to 85% of matters in the family law courts involve a history of domestic violence. Safety has to be the priority, not the rights of perpetrators. And that's what we keep doing.
Angela, for people who don't work in this area, how would you give people a sense of the extent of this problem? These kinds of horrific cases grab the headlines, but underneath that, there is an enormous scale of cases that are getting reported to police, not getting reported to police, but women that you're dealing with in shops, in banks, your work colleagues, women are quietly dealing with these issues in such large numbers.
I mean, that's absolutely right. We provide 40,000 services each year. The family of Kelly Wilkinson spoke about the lack of response from police. That's not an outlier issue. That's not like we say, oh, my goodness, that just never happens. That is a consistent reporting to us by our clients. Each year we see about 16,000 women across Queensland. We are linked in to domestic violence services across Queensland and across the nation. We discuss with our colleagues that this is consistently being reported to us, and it has been consistently reported for decades. And so when will it change? We need leadership. We need urgent action, and we are just appalled. You know, we are devastated, and we are tired of saying the same thing.
Is it, given the importance that it needs, if terrorists were doing this to Australian women and children, would there be a different response in a way? Is it not being taken seriously enough?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what we have spoken about, that it has to be, these are domestic terrorists, and they need to be treated in the same way as they were, as the system would respond to a public, a concern about a terrorist who could engage in some sort of public terror campaign. It's certainly not given the same level of I think priority. I think it is given a level of lip service by politicians that is not backed up. Really, there's just too many gaps in the system. It does need resourcing, but it's not all about resourcing. It's also about institutions and their cultural attitudes to issues of violence against women, thinking women are crazy when they come in to see them at a police station, or that they can just be dismissed because they don't believe them and don't believe their issues of risk and safety are important enough. I mean, what we are asking services to do, and you know, obviously the police are at the front line, we are just asking them to do their jobs. It is their job to respond to issues of domestic violence. It is their job to keep women and children safe. We are asking no more, for them to comply with their operating manuals and to do their job. And I don't think that is too much to ask.
Angela, thanks for joining us again on RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Sarah.
That's Angela Lynch. She's the CEO of the Women's Legal Service in Queensland. And if this story raises any issues for you or your family, or you need help, you can call 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732.